going to see. Is he next door? Well, I'd see if he could get us going up there. We're in trouble. Not trouble. We're just not functioning as we had hoped. Today, let me ask you a quick question. How would you describe your life? If I were to pose this question to you, my life is like, what do you hear? What do you see in your mind? What do you hear in your mind? My life is like what? Think about it for just a second. Now, if you're courageous, take out a pen and write it down somewhere. My life is like. Now, what's interesting is the picture that you're seeing or the word that you're thinking of, for our new friends, I'm ADD, I'm dyslexic, I think in pictures. I'm running three channels right now in my head. One channel is I'm here with you teaching. The other two channels are different things. But one of them is I'm thinking of all the pictures in my mind when I ask myself, my life is like, okay? The way that you see your life can have a direct, long-term effect on how you live your life. It's very, very important in how we think about our lives, how we picture our lives, how we address our lives. And so I've got a few things I tried to think up here. Let me get there. How about this? How many of you said, my life is like a circus? Anybody? Okay. Like a circus. Now, the thing about a circus is there's always something going on. And, you know, sometimes you have creepy clowns. And sometimes you have cool elephants, you know. But it's like a circus, right? Life's like a circus. And sometimes life like a circus isn't a bad thing. But, you know, after a while, man, enough's enough, right? You know. Okay, how about this one? How many of you consider your life to be like a dance? Yeah, oh, yeah. Now, Melinda, in all honesty, in absolute hand-to-God, authentic honesty, when I put this in here, I thought of you. So, no? Okay. So life is like a dance. You know, sometimes, you know, it's slow and you're, you know, it's cozy, and sometimes it's just fast and funky. Right? Right? So, how about this one? Go ahead. How many of you say my life's like a roller coaster? Can I just be authentic with you? I'm not even going to walk next to this. Okay, how many of you would ride this? Okay. Well, good for you. Lord bless you. I mean, life is like a roller coaster, man. Just, you know, somewhere in my mid-30s, I lost my gut for those things. So anyway, how about this? Your life's like an orchestra, like a symphony. Anybody? Life's like a symphony. No one? Okay, go ahead. How about this? Life's like a puzzle. All right, back there, the young ones go, man, life's so puzzling. Life's like a puzzle. Is there anyone here that gets the pieces that look like they kind of fit and you just kind of, right? It looks like it'll fit. Well, you know, that's me. It doesn't really have to look right. It just kind of has to fit, right? Life's like a puzzle. Go ahead. What else? How about this? Life's like a minefield. Does your life ever feel like that? You're traipsing through the sand, and you know there's landmines. You're not exactly sure where they are, and one day everything's good, and next day, boom! Oh, man. Don't even get me down that road. I get in trouble. Landmine. Go ahead. How about this one? Life's like a journey. Just a road trip. How would that be? You see that commercial on TV? I don't know what car they're selling, but the guy sells everything to do that road trip. There's a part of me that'd like to do that, wouldn't it? Just get in a car with a friend and just, life's like a journey. And so let's go ahead. So this morning, I want us to talk very briefly about the ride of your life. Now, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. We get one ride in this thing called life, and we get to determine a lot about it, but the truth is we really get to determine less about it than we think we do. We don't get to necessarily determine how long it is. We don't get to necessarily determine the road we get to drive on. But the road of our life is a very interesting one. And we get to kind of set, you know, the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? You know the difference between those? A thermometer tells you the temperature. The thermostat regulates the temperature. We may not get to choose the road of life all the time, but we get to choose how we respond to the road of life. Go ahead, please. Our, let's look at how do you think God views it? I didn't do pictures for this because then people would say, oh, Jimmy, you think you're God, and I don't. But I think of three things. Go ahead, please. The three things I believe God views is this. God views our lives as a trust, as a trust, as a test, and as a temporary assignment. In my humble opinion, when God looks at our lives, these are the three things He sees. And this morning, I want us to very quickly and very briefly touch on those. Go ahead, please. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing you may discern. Testing. Oh, is anyone here like testing? Is there ever a time, testing's a good word? I really would like to know. Professor Yeji here says no. Can we think of a time? How about this? You take your car in, well, let us do some tests. Now, that's not good. That's going to be expensive, right? You go to the doctor. How about this? Well, let's just do some tests. Well, no. When is the word test good in our vocabulary? What's that? Test for a promotion? But, you know, there's still a test. Because what's the 50-50 on that promotion? Yeah. Or it's pass-fail. Either you step up or you're stepping out. But it says to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Anyone ever have that question? God, what is your will? It says that we can discern that through testing what is good and acceptable and perfect. Go ahead, please. So first of all, we see that life is a test. The word test is a life metaphor. I'm doing that again. I just go country when I hear say the word metaphor. I'm channeling something. I don't know. Maybe, anyway, never mind. But test is a life metaphor. There we go. And over 200 times in the Bible do we see this metaphor. This metaphor. And the challenge it does is the metaphor challenges us in our character. It tests our character. You know, reputation is what people think you are, and character is what you are when you're completely alone. Okay? It tests our faith. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is not the absence of whatever. Faith is the desire and the commitment to be obedient in spite of it. Our obedience to do what is right because it's right. It tests our love. The scripture says if you love the lovable, how hard is that? Right? Who wouldn't love a unicorn? I mean, you know, loving the lovable, that's easy, right? Integrity. And then lastly, loyalty. And I want to show us four biblical accounts where we see the test. Go ahead, please. First of all, we see Abraham and Isaac. If you're not familiar with the Bible, Abraham was a father who had prayed for a son, and God says, I'll give you a son. And Abraham waited impatiently and kind of did his own thing. That's a whole other story. But he had Isaac, his son. This was the son God promised him. This was the son God said would fulfill a promise both to him and to a nation. And God says, Abraham, do you love me more than your son? Because this is what I want you to do, is I want you to take your son and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham took his son up on the mountain and was prepared to sacrifice him. Now, another test inside this test is that his son Isaac went with him. Isaac was young, Isaac was strong, Isaac was smart, but we get the picture that Isaac laid himself down in obedience to his father. That's a whole nother sermon. If you got time, we can stay for hours. But God says, no, Abraham, don't do it. He passed the test that God laid before him. Secondly, we have Adam and Eve in the garden. You remember? You can have it all. How about that? Isn't there a song? I want it all. Oh, well, I want it all. Thank you. I want it all. He says, you can have it all, but this one thing. And you know what human nature does? Well, what's that one thing? Well, why can't I have that one thing? Well, did you really mean I can't have that one thing? Well, Adam and Eve failed the test. And here we are. Go ahead. We see Daniel in the lion's den. I love this particular depiction of Daniel in the lion's den. Can you guess why? His back's turned to the lion, looking at the lion. He's not huddled in a corner. He's not over there going, man, I just hope my God's got enough. At least he will keep their mouths closed. Maybe they'd just paw me to death. No, Daniel standing, and in my mind's eye, he's looking through that window up to the God of his forefathers, the God of his faith, and he's saying, I'll wait. And I go, no, I've never been a lion. My high school mascot was a lion. But I just wonder if those lions are going, man, I wish I could eat you. But I just can't. See, I'm over on Channel 3 right now, I'm thinking, were the lions really hungry? And God was saying, you just can't eat him? Or were they just satisfied? They're just like, you know. Did they have a shake for breakfast and they just weren't hungry? Anyway, go ahead. Daniel and the lions, and then Peter. Peter walked on the water, the only man other than Jesus that we're aware of. But on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, Peter denied him three times. See, here's the thing, is when it comes to tests, sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail. Now, I want to pass more often than I fail, right? Don't you? Sometimes we pass, sometimes we fail. But the point is we will have tests. My friends, I don't want to bring you down, down, down. But the truth is life is a test. But the glory of it is there's a purpose to it. Let's go ahead. Character is both developed and revealed by tests. And all of your life is a test. The character in you is either developed or revealed based upon the test. It's like when you squeeze a tube of toothpaste. The character of that toothpaste is revealed by the pressure you put upon the tube. Now, I haven't figured out how to do it, but one day I want to do it. I want to get a tube of toothpaste, and I want to replace the insides with something else. Wasabi would be awesome. If you don't know what wasabi is, let me know, because I got some toothpaste I want to bring to you. Wasabi is what you add to food to make your head explode. But you see, part of the challenge that we face is the tests of life reveal who we are, what we really are on the inside. Because you see, when everything's good, when everything's calm, when everything's peaceful, we can fake it till we make it. But when the pressures of life, when the tests of life come in, that's when the real stuff starts oozing out. The other day I was walking by, doing a little workout, and I walked by, and I wasn't paying attention. Anybody else not paying attention? And this weight reached out and touched my shin, and not in a kind, loving, affectionate way. In a very brutal, heart-rending way. I saw stars. And I bend over, and like a man, I'm thinking, don't bend down. Don't go down. And I'm rubbing. And I don't want to look down because surely there's blood. You know, guys, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, there's a whole room full of people that are seeing me. And I want what's on the inside to come out when that pressure comes on. And praise the Lord, you know. It was good. It still hurt, but it was good. But the tests reveal. You see, the challenge when we're looking at a test and as it begins to reveal our character is whether we're willing to take an honest look at that character and say, hey, man, I tell you what, I'm moving towards the mark. Or, hey, I really need some character development in this. And that takes some personal integrity. That takes some courage to go, you know what? I'm not who I wish I would be. I'm not who I could be. I need to make some changes in the midst of these trials. Let's go ahead. The difference between a temptation and a test, because I know someone's thinking of it. What's the difference between a temptation and a test? A temptation will always take you away from God, and a test will always draw you towards God. If you're coming upon a situation in your life and you go, well, I don't really think this is what God would have me to do, my friends, that is a temptation. But if you are coming through a storm or coming through a circumstance and you go, if I do this, it makes me more like Christ, my friends, that's a test. And that's one you want to pass. Go ahead, please. We don't know all the tests that God will give us. Does anyone here like pop quizzes? I hate pop quizzes because you know why? I never read. Right? You love pop quizzes if you're prepared. I've got a son that sits upstairs. He just kills tests. Just kills them. He is the curve killer. If you see my son in your class, you don't want to take it. The curve killer. He's the guy I used to hate back in school. Because I live for the curve. You know, oh, please, Lord, give me that 50-point curve. Anyway. You see, when you know the test is coming, then you can prepare for the test, right? But the problem is if you know what's on the exam, the only thing you'll study is what's on the exam. And in life, my friends, all of life is a test. And we know they're coming. We don't always know what's there, but we can have some predictors. Here's some predictors I see in the Bible. Go ahead, please. We will face major changes. Anyone here love change? The one consistent thing in life is change, right? I mean, there's very few people who go, man, I love change. Change. Right? This, my friend, I'll tell you, change will come. Change in government, change in weather, unless you want winter in Texas. Change will come. Change. How about delayed promises? Did God ever tell someone in the Bible, hey, listen, just wait a minute? Human nature hates that, don't it? You want to drive someone crazy? Just tell them, wait a minute. You want to set your kids off? Well, just wait a minute. What? Change? Delayed? How about this? Impossible problems? Have you ever stood on the threshold of something and you're like, we've got new parents in here. You're probably feeling that way right now. Jacqueline, you ever feel that way? I saw your Facebook post this week. You were feeling that way. That's right. Testify. And you just stand here and you just go, my bride's brother was at work. Stands up straight, heart stops, falls straight over. 20 minutes later, they restart his heart. How do you answer that? How about this? Undeserved criticism? Does anyone like to be criticized? Even constructive criticism hurts, right? It's good, though, but criticism, how about this? Senseless tragedies. You ever have any of those? Friday night, after we left the hospital with my brother-in-law, my son-in-law gets taken there from a football injury. Now, I got to tell you, I love my son-in-law. I love him a little more today than I did the other day. You know why? Because he comes in, and all that's going on in his life and all that he's processing, his buddies come in, and they're talking. And he says, well, you know what? You know, my life's a little janked up right now. He says, but I'm thankful for what my life's not, because as they sat in the waiting room, there was a car accident brought in, and one of the individuals in the car accident didn't survive, and that individual's family sitting there in the lobby of the waiting room with him. My son-in-law has the wisdom to realize that a ganked up knee, as bad as it isn't that. Senseless tragedies. My friends, so we're going to be tested. Let's go ahead quickly. An important test will be our response when we feel that God isn't there. If you've not felt that way, just hold on. It's coming. There will be a time in your life, there will be a circumstance in your life when in your mind and your heart you're going to go, hey God, are you really there? I'm dying here. Are you really there? It's coming. If you haven't, it will. Listen, people won't tell you that. I promise you, ain't nobody preaching that. And you know what? It happens to preachers too. Memorial Day, 1991, when I'm meeting a care flight that's carrying my bride to Parkland Hospital, and the only thing I know how to pray is, God, your will be done. Yeah. Hey, God, you out there? You see, those tests will help us clarify where we are. Because what are you going to do? My friends, far too many say, well, you know what, God? I don't feel you. I'm not bothering to look at the past where you've been faithful before. I'm not looking in your word where you've always been faithful. I don't know anything about the future. So you know what? I'm just going to take a step and I'm going to walk away. Too many people do it. And my friends, I tell you this with all love and sincerity. If you don't build your faith, if you don't build your discipleship, if you don't build your conviction, my friend, you're a circumstance away from walking away. How we respond when we feel like God's not there, because God is always there, the Bible says, and our feelings do not determine whether God is present or not. But our feelings can be valid. We've got counselors in the room. Don't hear me say that feelings don't matter. Let's go ahead. And then what are the purpose of tests? Well, I believe it's twofold. We're going to make it real simple this morning, right? I believe the purpose of tests is this. All of life is a test, right? Amen? You guys are not with me. Do I need to dance some more? All of life's a test. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So what's the purpose of the test? Is it just to make me crazy? No, there's two purposes, I believe. One, if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, the test of your life is to help you understand that you need something. You need someone bigger than you, and His name's Jesus. And for those of us on this side of the cross, those of us that are born again, those of us who can say, heaven is my home, for us, it is the transformation from the inside out to be more Christ-like. Tests have purposes. Now, you get to decide where you are. Are you in front of the cross or behind the cross? But the tests have purposes. Either He wants to bring you to the cross or He wants to transform you to the cross. You get to determine that. You get to understand that. Let's go ahead, please. To understand that life is a test gives every day, every minute, every event significance. When you understand that every day, every moment, every opportunity is a test, that means everything in your life has a significant value to it. Something as mundane as if you're walking into Walmart and you see a can laying there and you walk by and you go, well, that's just garbage. Do you pick the can up? Do you leave it better than you found it, or you walk by it? That's a test. Hey, I'm not going to tell you I bat 1,000, but the Boy Scouts put it in me. Do a good turn daily. And if that good turn's picking up a can, I'll pick that can up. You see, so often if we're not careful, we think that there's chunks of our lives that just have no value. Every moment of every day in every situation has value because it's a test. How will we respond to it? How will we conduct ourselves through it? What can we glean from it? What can we insert into it? Are we being more like God? Are we being greater dependent upon Him? It makes everything different. That boss of yours that you're really, really, really not looking forward to seeing him walk into your office in the morning, you know him or her, don't you? You get there, and you're like, hey, it's Monday, but I'm working. I got my Danish. I got my cup of coffee. Oh, geez. You go to work hoping they call in sick. That's the only prayer life you have. Oh, Lord, please let them be sick today. You know who I'm talking about. If you have one of those, you're looking at them right now, and I'm very sorry. But every moment of every day in every situation is a test, and it's pass-fail. And let me just say this. This is free. It doesn't cost you anything extra. God doesn't have a problem with remedial school. Now, we don't say that today. I am a product of social promotion. I graduated high school out of thank you, Lottie. All right? But you know what? God loves us so much because God is more concerned about our eternal position than our temporary comfort. And He will allow things to come into our lives that we might be trained up. If there's an event in your life, if there's this certain test that just keeps coming back to you, can I just suggest to you this? You're failing the test. Now, I don't know what it is, but if it keeps coming around to you, you might need to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, am I just failing this? Because it very well could be. So every day, every moment, every situation is a test. It's an opportunity for growth and spiritual development. Go ahead, please. We are stewards of what God has given to us. I apologize there. It says that we must recognize that Go is the owner of everything. I don't know who Go is. Maybe that's the next generation of Google. I don't know. But in my mind, it's supposed to be God. You see, life is a trust because God owns everything. Amen? The Scripture says in Romans, says this, for Him and through Him and to Him all things, let's say all. That's all. All means all. You don't even have to go to seminary to learn the Greek to understand all means all. All things to Him be glory forever. So it's an entrustment. We understand that everything in our existence belongs to God. Everything. Every tree, every bird. You know, as a hunter, we've got hunters in here. When you go out and you take from God's creation, we should take with dignity and grace and appreciation. When we're walking through that parking lot, we should pick up that soda can. You know why? Because this is my Father's world. And I want to take care of my Father's world because I love my Father because He loves me. You see, we love people. You know why? Because they belong to my Father. If God loves them, then we're called to love them. This is my Father's world. I want to be like Him. I want to represent Him. And when we are reminded to everything, one more time just for grins, everything belongs to Him. Every breath that you take, every dime that you make, every step that you take, everything belongs to Him. You're just a steward of it. Tell me what you own. Don't tell me your house because you don't. Because either the bank owns it or one day you're going to step into eternity and someone else is going to own it. You don't own it. You're a steward. Don't tell me your car. I've got a car I'm not making payments on, but it's going to belong to someone else sooner or later. It's probably going to be Johnny's car lot and impound because I'm going to drive it till there ain't nothing left. I'm going to take the gas cap off and I'm going to go, that's all it's worth. You see, when we realize that every day, every moment is a test, and we realize that everything belongs to the Father, it doesn't belong to me. My bride doesn't belong to me. One of the things I had to do on that car ride to Parkland Hospital was to come to the realization for the first time in my life that my bride did not belong to me. She belonged to the Father. And I said with all the faith, with all the fear that I could muster, with a year and a half old baby girl, God, thy will be done. And you know what that meant? I don't know. I can tell you today what it meant, thank God. But in that car, that's all I'm riding with my pastor. I said, Pastor, we tell people all the time they have to trust God. What am I to do? This is the only thing I know to do. It was the only right thing to do, right? So we realize that God is the owner of everything. Your children, you do not own them. We talked about that last week. We do not own our children. They are an entrustment to us. Everything. This campus. We do not own this campus. It's an entrustment to us. And so we should treat it as such. We should treat people as such. It all belongs to the Father. Go ahead, please. Our culture says if you do not own it, you don't have to take care of it. But Christians live by a higher standard. Because God owns it, I must take good care of it. We should do our very best to take care of things, to take care of people, because it belongs to the Father. I'm so good, I'm ahead of myself. Go ahead. To make the best of our ride, we must never forget two truths. You get one ride, right? You get one ride, and you don't know how long the ride is. Have you ever been on one of those roller coasters and you wish the ride was like 15 seconds? Have you ever been talked into one of those rides? You're like, oh my Lord, what have I done? Because it usually starts as soon as you come out and that the front of that train goes, tia. And you're like, oh. And then you ever think about trying to figure out somewhere where they'd stop the train? I did. And then you're trying to figure out, okay, so how do I not feel like everything from my toes coming north is going to come out my head? You see, you only get one ride. You don't know what the ride's going to be like, and you don't know how long the ride's going to last. But there's two truths that you need to remind yourself of to help you with your ride. Go ahead. The first one is this. Compared to eternity, life is very brief. Compared to everything that's yet to come, this is nothing. Listen, I know when we live here and we're walking here, we think this is forever and ever. Amen. But life is just the Bible says, a breath. And sometimes that's what I need to know, because you get to looking and you get overwhelmed. You're like, oh, Lord, I can't live up to this. And God says, listen, it's temporary. Just hold on. It'll be okay. Secondly, we have to remind ourselves this, is that earth is our temporary residence. We're just passing through. We're not going to be here too long, really, in the light of things. You see, we have to be heavenly minded. Go ahead, please. The Bible teaches us that it's a temporary assignment. You see, my identity is in heaven. I live as an American, but I'm a child of the King. You see, I live in a temporary world, but my residence is eternally in heaven. You see, my identity comes from the Father down, not from society in. Do I care? Sure I care. That's the reason I wore clothes to church today. Think about that. Huh? Hey, God made Adam and Eve, right? If we were going to be biblical. But because I care. There you go. I was just making sure you were listening. Go ahead, please. Stop worrying about having it all on earth. My friends, can I just say this? When your mind and your heart are filled with the things of eternity, there's not much room for the things of this world. When we realize that everything we need and everything we want and everything we don't even know that we want is available to us, we don't have to spend every day and every dollar and every moment of our lives grasping at what the world says we need. It sets you free. Because we're just passing through. We can live in simplicity. We can live sacrificially. We can do these things. You know why? Because we belong to the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We belong to the God who owns everything. I don't have to grasp like a beggar because I'm a child of the King. Live with eternity in mind. Go ahead, please. The world seeks our mind's attention, our heart's affection, and our feet's direction. The world wants you to focus everything that you are on what the world says you need to be. And the sad truth is, my friends, is the world will never tell you you're good enough. The world will never tell you be satisfied. The world always says, well, there's just one more thing. How many new and approved can there be? I mean, my goodness. I mean, we're down now where we've got new and improved cans. I mean, it's a can. How new and improved can you make a can? But you know why they have to do that? Because the world says you can't ever be happy. You can't ever be satisfied. You can't ever be content. The Scripture tells us, be still. I'm content. Not because I have everything the world says I need, but I have everything that God's provided for me. 28 years with this wonderful lady. What more do I want? What more do I need? The world tells me I should be midlife crisis. I need a Corvette. I need a 22-year-old. What else? Well, that's another sermon. But you know what? All I need is sitting right there. All I need for 28 years ago, all I need today, and all I need for the rest of my journeys sits right there. Because she belongs to Him and we belong to Him. I'm content. That's all I need. The world says otherwise, but you know the world can lie to us. Go ahead, please. Ride with eternity in your mind and your heart. Listen, let's make this ride and think forever of what's yet to come. Because at the end of the day, the Scripture says the Father will speak to us. There's two statements. The first will be this. Depart from me, for I never knew you. The Bible says that there'll come a day that those that are apart from God will be eternally separated from God. And they'll cry out, oh, don't you know us? Oh, don't you know what we did? Oh. And God said, I never knew you. That's tragic. That's horrifying. That's not for me. Not because I'm good. Because on a January morning, in 1987, I received Christ as my personal Savior. And that alone. That one day I'll stand before the Father and He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. I'm living with eternity in mind. Go ahead, please. There's our action step for the week. Seek to know, trust, and love God more day by day. And in doing so, allowing Him to put more life into your ride. My friend, I just want to ask you, are you just holding on to the end? You don't need to do that. If you'll just love God and follow God and trust God and say, God, whatever it means, put more life into my ride. My friends, you can have the best that this world has to offer and heaven too. I like two for ones. I'll go to the grocery store for a two for one.